Hello and welcome to End Goals, an LCMS Youth Ministry podcast. I'm host Reverend Mark Kiesling, and I'm with DCE Juliana Schultz. We're here to bring parents, church workers, and lay leaders discussions and resources to help your youth ministry meet its end goal, which is young people who are disciples of Jesus Christ for life. Today, we're going to talk about the impact of the 2025 LCMS Youth Gathering.
It's easy for us to maybe focus on the impact of the gathering in relationship to participants and planners and our volunteers and our staff. It's really what we've been spending our time on the last maybe couple episodes, right? And all of that is really important to hear. But we also leave a larger impact in the city with our hotels, with our facilities, and through our servant events. So today we're going to talk more about the larger impact of the 2025 gathering and what it had outside of maybe your congregational group or maybe even anything that you saw as a part of your gathering experience.
For typical gatherings over the course of 4 or 5 years, we work with hotels, convention centers, arenas, city officials, and so many more people. And we connect with local congregations and organizations who we assist with service. And we know that they put a lot of effort into hosting our event, and we're thankful for a city that does that. And we want the people to know Jesus through our words and deeds and through the work of our congregations out in the community as well as at like the convention center and our facilities.
Yeah. So if you were at the gathering, you know that our participants were pretty hard to miss, mm-hmm. even with clear backpacks, I promise. Kind of a sea of matching shirts. Somebody forwarded me a TikTok of somebody who was like, who are all of these teenage Christians that have invaded our city, which was amazing to see. And the comments were incredibly kind. And we know that that our behavior through the work of the Holy Spirit points others back to the good news of Jesus. We're just amazed at the number of times God provides opportunities for our participants to talk about their faith with city residents.
And joining us today are Carrie and Zeal, who help manage our on-site service learning opportunities and off-site service projects. Zeal Beal is a mother of 2 adult children and 1 rescue Chiweenie dog named Trisk. Since her return 12 years ago from South Africa as an LCMS missionary, she has served as a DCE at St. Paul Lutheran Church in the heart of New Orleans. Loving God and his people, she also became a professional chaplain and works part-time with a hospice community. Carrie Benson is from Ruskin, Nebraska, and she has been the Connections Director at Trinity Lutheran Church, Grand Island, Nebraska, since 2018. She is wife to Tim and mom to sons Caden and Kale. She enjoys gardening, canning, camping, and Jeep adventures with her family. Welcome to End Goals.
Thank you.
Hello.
All right, so we got to hear a little bit about each of you in that intro, but maybe tell us more about your vocations, your roles in youth ministry, and other things that bring you joy.
I'll start. I live in New Orleans, and my house was built in 1865, so it is a historic shotgun. So recently, I have been redecorating it, so that's been a lot of fun. And I'm also on sabbatical. I have been a professional DCE for 18 years, and I thought it was time to rest. So while I have always done children and youth, I'm actually have a year to rest.
Awesome.
It's fantastic.
And I'm Carrie, and I serve as a connections director in Grand Island, Nebraska, outside I live outside of Grand Island, Nebraska in the country. And I get to work with a variety of folks here at church. I hang out with babies all the way up to adults. Sunday school is something that I get to coordinate along with our Wednesday night activities. And then I also coordinate all of our events here at church. I enjoy our women's events are a lot of fun. Easter egg hunts, vacation Bible school, Christmas celebrations, and then the next one I have coming up is our fall event, which is we're going to have it at the Pumpkin Patch this year, so I'm excited for that.
That's great. Well, you two played a vital role in the LCMS Youth Gathering this last summer, again, managing, coordinating, directing so many of the efforts that took place through our service learning as well as our offsite service projects. So I just want to ask you with a question of all that work that you did, what was maybe a highlight of the 2025 gathering that will stick with you into the future?
Well, one little responsibility I had was to go to the amazing ambassadors and just give them a little update about what it was, what offsite servant events And I was so nervous because there's like hundreds of them. But it'll always remember this because the Holy Spirit just took over. And then I even prayed. And I thought, wait a minute, who's praying? So it was great just to explain this role and because there was a tropical storm in the forecast. Right. So I was really praying for good weather, and God provided. We had three beautiful days, which only comes from the power of prayer.
Absolutely.
For me, it was seeing the energy and enthusiasm of our youth and how they engaged and really took seriously listening to the directions that they were receiving from the organizations. And that made the end result impactful mm-hmm. for those that received the products and projects that the kiddos did. So I was just amazed at how enthusiastic they were and all that energy. Wow. Can we just like contain that? It was awesome.
It is amazing to watch, right? It really is. So Carrie, maybe share with us a little bit about some of the on-site service learning opportunities that were there. Hopefully people got to see them and interact with them, but maybe they missed a few or maybe they didn't get a chance to get over to that part of the interactive center. What all did we do in that part of that on-site service?
Probably what didn't we do was better. we ahead of time, we worked with 9 organizations to organize servant activities for the kids to do. One of them was local. It was the ARC of Greater New Orleans, and they work with people with intellectual disabilities and help them to earn a paycheck so they can buy things that they would like. And so what we did for them was help them sort through beads that they can resell during Mardi Gras. Concordia Publishing House came in and Concordia Gospel Outreach came in and we were able to package 6,700 books for kiddos in Liberia to see. And then we had Forged by Fire, who they work with LCMS disaster response as well. What we did for them is we packaged meal kits for emergencies that people would have a few days of emergency meals when they needed them. Lutheran Braille Workers, we helped them by creating Braille Bibles and the large print devotions as well. Orphan Grain Train was another one of our organizations, and we packaged meal kits for them, sleeping mats, diapers for babies, and how much more do you want me to say?
There was a lot.
Kids donated blood. They donated their hair. They built a building inside of a building.
So that just continues to boggle my mind. So can we talk about that one for a second?
Sure.
Right. We built a house. We built a house?
It was a 12 by 24 house, home that for Yesleta Lutheran Mission, that the kids, if they want to volunteer, a youth group or even an adult Bible study, would they are based in outside of El Paso, Texas, and they do this in Mexico all the time. They build these homes for people that are living in inadequate housing, and they make their lives a whole lot more comfortable. And so the kids got to experience what it's like to run a screwdriver, to see how to put in electrical outlets, how to sheetrock, that sort of thing. So it was a pretty cool thing to watch that house get built and then taken down as well. So we could get it out of there, because they didn't want us to leave that at the convention center.
No. Did the house go somewhere?
It did. It is currently in a storage container at one of the churches, at the local churches, for them to utilize in a disaster, for like a hurricane disaster, disaster relief.
Wow. Okay.
So it's stayed there locally, just because it's not real cost effective to ship.
Gotcha. No, but we love Yesleta. I have a particular art for Yesleta, but truly, that's one that I was like, we're doing what? How do we do that? Some of the other ones I feel like are a little more attainable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right. So when you talk about all those projects, like what are maybe, you maybe mentioned some of the projects there. What are maybe some of the impacts that either maybe on raw numbers or on maybe some of the other stories you heard about how service learning that took place at a convention center in New Orleans will affect the ministry that these organizations are doing or the service that they're providing back in their context?
Right. I feel like for Yesleta, another opportunity the kids had was to pack backpacks for them, mm-hmm. Back to school backpacks, and also hygiene kits for the people that they build the homes for. They're able to utilize those as well. I feel like the wigs for kids surprised mm-hmm. me. I didn't feel like there would be that many people that wanted to donate their hair, but I mean, hair is a big deal, you know? And so I just kudos to everybody that took that leap of getting your hair cut at a convention center by somebody you don't know. And then you're going to be there for the rest of the week. That was a leap of faith. And then the people that are receiving that as well, or the kids are, because we partnered with Wigs for Kids. So mm-hmm. it is kids mm-hmm. that are going to be receiving the people that donated their hair.
It's so pretty cool. That's one of the events that we get emails about early on confirming we're doing it because they've got kids that are growing their hair out. They want to know, am I cutting my hair before I come to New Orleans and maybe be pretty hot down in the heat, or do I come with it prepared so I get my hair cut there? So it's pretty cool when we start getting emails about it early in the process.
Yeah. Right.
Do you know how many people got their hair cut?
Yes, 53 people.
Wow. Oh.
It is a lot of people. Yeah. That's a lot of hair.
It really is. Yeah. Because there's so many restrictions to hair donation. Sure. You can't have, it can't be color treated. And a lot of people do that nowadays, me included. So I, you know, and mine's not that long. So, and the length, it had to be at least 12 inches and over 14 was better. So that's, I think, what the stipulations make it difficult to donate.
Yeah. That's great.
That's fantastic. Do you know how many units of blood we did?
So 596-ish, I think, people attempted to donate, and they were able to collect over 450 units. So that's a lot of people, and that's a lot of first-time donors too. That's right. Scary to donate blood, and that's not a small needle that's coming at you. So,
right.
Oh, I'm always impressed at teenagers. Like it takes a chunk of time, mm-hmm. right? You like it's not always a short thing to do, or you could pass out. You know, all sorts of things, mm-hmm. But hopefully it's setting up young people to be blood donors regularly for the rest of their lives, right?
Because, exactly. And you have usually they had a friend with them, so that makes it a memorable event too. When you do something scary with a friend, it's kind of a bonding moment for them.
Absolutely. Yeah. You mentioned Orphan Grain Train. I know we had packed meals before with some other organizations years past and brought that back this time. Tell us a little bit about what those meals will go towards or how that process worked with Orphan Grain Train.
Orphan Grain Train, they were able to pack over 160,000 meals with them, and they ship those meals wherever they're needed mm-hmm. all over internationally. Mm-hmm. And they I mean, that goes really fast mm-hmm. to package 160,000 meals as quickly as we did. It was pretty amazing. And the kids, there's a lot of listening and it is. It's just like the scoops go in a certain order, mm-hmm. and then and for them to be able to fit in the package and then be sealed correctly.
Cool.
So many cool opportunities, and
there were,
and like huge kudos to your team who had to not only work with all of the different organizations and coordinate with them. And I think you guys did an amazing job of trying to figure out what is the best thing we can do to help support your ministry. That's also going to be a thing we can do on the floor of this convention center, which is not a small task.
Right. And then we also had some of our walk-up activities as well that the kids helped make sock toys for babies. And I couldn't believe how many people could crochet. Youth, right. A lot of youth mm-hmm. can crochet. And Phil's friends, we made cards of hope for cancer patients as well. So those kids, you know, they hopped in, and we got a lot. We just got a lot of great caring things accomplished.
Yeah, so amazing. So Zeal, you helped with the opportunities that were offsite. So people who signed up ahead of time, who were bussed out to different places all across the city to do work. So tell us a little bit about what those offsite opportunities were.
Well, many that were inside the convention center, I also sent them out to the locations, the park. Some went to the SPCA to play with the dogs, the Louisiana Children's Museum, lots of schools, lots of getting the classrooms ready, getting materials organized, playgrounds ready. We had neighborhood associations that needed like their storm drains, catch basins cleaned out. There's an edible garden in New Orleans, and so it's a schoolyard. So they got that prepared. So now school has started that they can start growing things. My favorite was the Coalition to Restore Coastal Louisiana, which is actually oyster shell recycling. I didn't realize how important the reefs are and how they need the oyster shells to grow. So we send people out there every day to get the oyster shells ready to put back into all the water that we have around here.
I loved hearing those stories of sites that, again, one thing I loved about the offsite is that it gets it into the culture and just the things that are happening, environmental impact, the community itself. And so our participants get to learn about another city, obviously the host city, New Orleans, get to hear the stories and the connection that's there. I think it's been interesting, Zeal, just the last couple of weeks as we're celebrating the 20th anniversary of Katrina. We talked about that at the gathering too, but just to see then some of the impact of areas that we were serving. I mean, the coastal piece was on one of the documentaries I watched about how we're trying to rebuild the areas outside, you know, coming off of the Gulf and stuff like that. So to see that connection that was making place was pretty neat, that where you guys were sending congregations out to serve.
That's right.
So I thought it was really cool, Zeal, to have you as a local New Orleans resident to be able to serve on that team and to be sending people out, LCMS young people and adults out into your community to serve. What are maybe some of the things that you saw? I know one was even close to your church and to your where you live too. How do you see the impact of these servant events having, an impact within the city of New Orleans and the residents that are there?
Well, one thing, people assume New Orleans is a big city, but it really is not. And we had the luxury of sending, fanning the city. People went, well, we don't say northeast, south, and west. We say Riverside, Lakeside, uptown, downtown. So we sent those wonderful volunteers everywhere in New Orleans. And so, like Juliana said, it was all over social media. And people just knew... because we've been to New Orleans so many times, who we were, and so grateful for the help. It was July. Nobody comes and volunteers in July. Mm-hmm. So we stood out that way and just really made an impact for the name of Jesus.
Absolutely. I love always to hear the stories of, like, you're talking about the school ones, and like we hear from a lot of underserved schools to say that these are projects that just never would have gotten done if your volunteers wouldn't have showed up and do them for us. So it just creates a great first day of school as they're coming back to see a clean classroom or the garden's ready to go, or just these things that then also frees up the teachers to actually prep for their school year, which is awesome to see that we can be a part of that.
And if you do the math, by the grace of God, my team, I had a wonderful team, sent 5,500 participants out into the city over 3 days or 4 hours. That's 22,000 hours of volunteering. And like I said, it was hot, it was dirty, and it was fun. And a lot got done by these volunteers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys have hit on a couple of these things, but like, why is it important that we have service opportunities as a part of the overall gathering experience?
Well, through service, we can easily show others the love and care that we have for them. And it's a great way that we can be an example of Jesus and how he served. He served everybody. He served his disciples. He served us and served us with his life. So hopefully it makes people curious about what's different about us. Why are these people doing the things like you know, Zeal talked about? Why are they going out in the city in the middle of the heat and, you know, it's uncomfortable? It's because we do love people and we care about them, and you can show them through service.
And I think for the youth leaders, maybe it's difficult to coordinate, arrange this kind of thing. Maybe they don't even know where to begin in their city. So this was a nice entry. We gathered them. We got them on the bus. We gave them lunch. We gave them the tools. We gave them the site. And so now they have that understanding. We had 87 different sites that they went to, and I don't even know how many hundreds of different churches. So all those hundreds of youth leaders now have a small taste of, oh, I can do this. I'm going to find somewhere in my city. The kids loved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we hear often that like the gathering can sometimes be the first taste for a young person or a church in its entirety for service. And whether that's ways that their church can be serving in their community close by, or also for young people to start to get the idea of maybe like we host LCMS Earth events or other mission trips where they get encouraged to go out and serve in the name of Jesus in different contexts too. So maybe we want to talk about some of those projects that you did or ways that you saw that as they were done at the gathering, how can they also be duplicated back home or be encouraged for service back home?
For on-site Orphan Grain Trade, I'm blessed. Their location is based in Nebraska, and so they have many different ways that you can serve outside of Nebraska, though, and outside of Louisiana. We did sleeping mats. It is an easy way that kids can serve, you know, on a Wednesday night, or they can crochet those by hand. The other thing, we did diaper sewing, but Orphan Grain, and we did the Mercy Meals as well, but Orphan Grain Train has many ways that you can serve locally if you just hit their website. Phil's Friends, they have templates. If you want to, your kids, you just go to philsfriends.com and you can print out their, it could be .org, Phil, but you just Google Phil's Friends and you can print out those templates for your, even your Sunday school class to make those cards for cancer patients. The ARC, I didn't know that there are five ARCs in Nebraska, and I didn't know that until, yeah. Yes, there's five different, that where you can help folks with intellectual disabilities. And then one thing that you could do with your youth at a youth group activity is if you participated in our homeless experience, if you go to playspent.org is another way. Kids have 30 days. They get a chunk of change, and they have 30 days to try not to go broke, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And I think that what I felt like was impactful from that is their families, you know, their parents, grandparents are probably making many of the choices that are included in that activity. You know, like your dog's sick. Do you take them to the vet, or do you just, are they just going to have to try to get better on their own or possibly not get better? So, mm-hmm. you know, those, I thought that was an impactful activity that you could bring home.
Well, anything that you saw, Zeal?
Well, for offsite, ours were really specific to the needs of New Orleans. But every city needs love. Every city needs Jesus. I don't think it would be terribly difficult to find a need in your city.
I think, Zeal, one thing I learned, you know, going through this with New Orleans or any city that we're in is, you know, most of these organizations we worked with regularly will take volunteers. And like you said, July's can be a really quiet month for them, but yet there's a lot of work to get done. And so like, it was a, really a learning curve for me to see, like, a lot of these organizations just on their websites, an easy way to sign up for volunteers that, like, young people or churches themselves could easily go to the food pantry or to different places and say, like, hey, just go to their website, see if they need volunteers. That's a great activity to do on a weekend or something like that, just to get involved in the community. So just to open your eyes in your own community about places that need volunteer support to maybe lift up people who are in need.
Well, I want to do a shout out to the wonderful YAVs, the Young Adult Volunteers. I had the privilege of working with 50 of them. One went to each location. But when we were telling the locations, yeah, you're going to have a 19-year-old in charge. And they're all freaking out because they're used to AT&T and, all, you know, coming in and being their volunteers. And I'm like, you won't have a thing to worry about. So it was nice to show them the capabilities and just how awesome our young adults in the church are.
Yeah, well, I think you also heard from some hosts maybe that thought they had 4 hours of work to do, and then our hardworking young people showed up, and all of a sudden that was only an hour and a half to 2 hours of work to do because they were so focused on what they're doing. Kind of what, Carrie, what you were saying you saw on the floor, is that they show up focused and ready to get the work done.
Well, we'll take that complaint from who are like, we thought we were going to work more, and there wasn't enough, because we just know how enthusiastic our young people and our youth groups are, and we're so grateful for the ways that they serve.
I just kind of focused on Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 for motivation. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And that's why I know I did it. I know that's why my team did it. And the 5,500 volunteers is to shine the light on Jesus.
Well, Mark, we have an impact at the gathering beyond just service projects, mm-hmm. right? What are some of the impacts you see or hear of in from the city, from our facilities, from those other places?
Well, it's really true that we hear from so many of our city partners just amazing things about our participants that have come, our adult leaders, our youth, our volunteers who make an impact on workers in hotels and workers in facilities. Specifically, we were meeting with our event coordinator at the convention center, and she's like, our people who are on the end of the text line where, like, say, you ask for more toilet paper in a restroom. She's like, your kids actually say thank you at the end of the message. Like, our people aren't used to that. And so, like, just little things
what
about,
an
like,
interesting place yeah, to be polite.
I know. So it's like just, wow, like, to hear how many comments they heard from their staff saying, like, these kids are amazing. Like, they are just polite and courteous and thankful for you doing your job. You're, you know, fulfilling your vocations, that are, like, young people can see that, like, they understand right. that piece. So, like, that's really cool to get that. And when, you know, I'll say we got a lot of comments from the convention center about the handling of, you probably have heard other podcasts and other things, that we had some protests around us and just how well our YAVs handled that and our participants handled that, it's just a great, I mean, I'll say for, again, our amazing volunteer management teams, how we, you know, we are so blessed by the number that we have and then how they're managed, that we just will hear at the end of our event about, we are just a unique event by the way our volunteers create the atmosphere and the connection and love on staff members again. And so, like, we will get asked for, how do you do that, a lot. And so that's always, like, a real cool thing for us to be able to help yeah. other people do an event and help a convention center to understand what our volunteers add to our event. So those are some key ways that we might see in the facilities and some of the buildings that we're at. You know, certainly through our service projects, you know, the organizations, we just get big thank yous from them because, like, it's the stuff that, again, in late July is not going to get accomplished, and they're mm-hmm. up against their time of maybe school starting or just behind on projects, and our young people come in and get so much work done over the 3 days that it's just awesome to be able to serve in a community that way. It's one of those ways that we see that impact, again, by our people. Another interesting thing, as you can imagine, is, you know, there are reasons oftentimes why we're in a city like New Orleans in July from an economic standpoint. It's a slower time for them from a business perspective and from a tourism perspective. And so we're able to come in and help businesses out in a lot of various ways that we provide financial support. You talked about that TikTok. And I know many of the comments that I saw from that TikTok, too, were, like, business owners saying, like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm having a great month financially thanks to these yeah. youth that are here.
Yeah.
That, like, this is why we do these events, is because, like, we are a kind of, there's an industry behind this. And these youth are amazing, and they're so generous and caring and just great to have in our shops and our restaurants. So just, like, a couple of things I heard, just side stories, was our YAV team had shared that there's a pizza joint that was down. I actually ended up going there on by chance after the gathering. But they had talked to the owner, and we had ordered a bunch of pizzas for YAVs, and he was saying, like, this is incredible. Like, this is the best month of the year. And that's after having a Super Bowl in January, or February, sorry, February. And so, like, July was amazing that he just did not expect. And so then he's passing on the blessing to his workers because of the generosity of our participants and the tips and everything that came in that ended up being a great month. We had one of our local people were at a business down on Canal Street, and talked to this local shopkeep, and there's actually one of the workers, it wasn't the owner, and just asked, well, did you have some Lutheran kids? Oh, yeah, they were amazing. And she kind of joked with her, like, well, did they really buy much? And she's like, yeah, absolutely. They loved our shop. And so she was saying that because of the generosity of our participants and being in their shop, that she had a very successful month. She's trying to, you know, be an income winner in her family, and like got more money basically off of the sales that were received that month. And so like it was a blessing to her. So like in these ways too, that we make an impact on individuals and businesses and just people by being in a city for an event like ours. And so, and then of course on top of it, just with how great our participants and our both our youth and our adults are, and the way they behave and the way they treat people, just adds to the level of it really does make a difference in the name of Jesus when we witness in that way. So that's really always really, really cool to see.
It is. It is unsurprising that the pizza place was doing very well.
Yeah.
But we still celebrate that,
absolutely,
right? Like, we wish maybe somebody had branched out, but pizza is still a great option, right? I think often we have young people in a city, and we think about how we want to prepare our young people to be in the city. And we talk about how youth groups, you know, how you prepare to travel in all of those ways. And one of the reasons we do that is because on the other end, when we live out our vocation as community member in this new city that we are in for a short time, that we really can point young people or all kinds of people to Jesus through our actions, through our interactions. It's really amazing to see.
Yep, we love to hear the stories of after, you know, connections that get made, and they're like, wait, what's the name of this church body? And then you'll give them our website, that kind of stuff, or introduce them to local congregations that are nearby and say, like, hey, if you want to hear more, here's a church right around the corner from you that you can connect with on a Sunday and make a connection there. So we'd love to be able to do that and point them to Jesus and to his church.
We know that everybody made an impact when they were there in New Orleans, but we know many of you would have liked to have done service projects and weren't able to. So we do want to encourage you to consider service projects you can do locally, or you can do through LCMS Servant Events next summer. You can find out more about LCMS Servant Events by going to lcms.org/youth. You can also find out more opportunities about serving. Like, for example, Carrie talked about doing the mats. Mm-hmm. We have all the instructions and a devotion to do that that's on the Youth eSource, as well as she mentioned things like Play Spent. We have an article that we'll link in the show notes that talks about how you can use Play Spent in your youth ministry to develop empathy. So lots of ways that you can be doing these things in between now and the 2028 gathering. Mm-hmm. So a few questions for you to consider. If you had a chance to serve at the gathering, how did that impact you or young people?
What organizations in your community might benefit from service hours provided by members of your congregation?
And finally, how might you bring service opportunities to your youth ministry going forward? We will continue to keep you in our prayers as you look for opportunities to serve wherever you are and ways to share the good news of Jesus with others by sharing his love.
NGOLD's podcast is a production of LCMS Youth Ministry and KFUO Radio. To find links mentioned in the episode or more about LCMS Youth Ministry, go to kfuo.org/youthministry. And find resources for youth ministry at youthesource.com. Thank you for listening and caring for the young people of our church.